From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. I'm your host. Glad to have you with us and glad to be back in the studio after we took our show on the road last week. This week, a very special edition as we showcase one of the important business districts in DeKalb County. That's the East Metro DeKalb Community Improvement District. We have three fantastic guests from there going to help us to spotlight that area. We'll introduce them in just a second, but first I want to remind you that we are on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. Make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. You're listening live, we hope, at DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. You can find our podcast there, as well as free downloads on iTunes. And as always, I want to remind you this edition of DeKalb Business Today, sponsored by the Bornelis Insurance Agency, a division of Farmers Insurance. Contact Callan Bornelis at 1-800-376-8967, or just go to our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com, and click on the link. All right, I want to get to our panel now, and we'll start with Nicole Hall. She's the founder and chief consultant at Nickel Works Consulting. We'll talk about Nickel Works in just a second, but first, talk to me a little bit about your role with the Community Improvement District.
Well, I have been with the East Metro DeKalb Community Improvement District since December, officially. I serve as the administrator and am responsible for keeping up with the day-to-day operations and representing them in the community with business organizations and helping them to get started with some of their projects. That's what's my main role right now.
What are the boundaries? What are some of the areas included in the East Metro DeKalb CID?
Well, the boundary actually extends pretty much along I-20. And it goes from Gresham Road all the way to Turner Hill Road in the Stonecrest area. It actually goes up to Covington Highway and then down a little bit on Flat Shoals Parkway.
And tell us a couple of the things that you're looking to accomplish in the future, some of the things that you have accomplished there in the CID to this point.
Well, one of the first things when I came in, we wanted to make sure that we are partnering with the community organizations, that we are promoting the CID, and that we are growing. We're not necessarily growing in size, but more so in membership. So those are our three focus areas that are strategy behind the scenes. But we are working on beautification projects, transportation improvements, and so far, we've done a Wesley Chapel median beautification project on the north side, and we are very excited about launching the next project, which is going to be on the south side of I-20. So that should be coming pretty soon.
It's some of those projects, I guess people don't, when they hear about them, they don't think how important it is. But when you're driving along that corridor and the trash has been cleaned up and the hedges have been trimmed up and it's been painted nicely, it really does make a difference.
It does. And it's a difference for the current members of the CID and other businesses, as well as those that are prospects. They want to see an area that looks good and that gives them incentive to want to be there. They also want an area that's safe. So public safety is another area that we'll also be working on. And we are working with the Southeast DeKalb Task Force with the DeKalb Police Department.
Okay, very good. We'll look forward to talking more with you about that and more about your work at Nickel Works Consulting. Nicole Hall. You can check out her website, nickelworks.net, and of course, find out more about the East Metro DeKalb Community Improvement District. They're on Facebook. They're also on Twitter, at EMDCID. We also have with us Van Jakes. He is the owner-operator of Jake 22 Management Company. Tell us what you manage.
Managing a few McDonald's restaurants on I-20, Panola Road, Turner Hill Road, and Hillendale Road. I had to put a plug in there.
There you go. Well, you should.
Yes, sir.
You've been doing that for a while.
23 years. Played in NFL for 8 and then made the transition to the business world.
And what is it like working with a company, working for a company like McDonald's?
It's absolutely awesome. You know, really similar to playing in the league. You know, the NFL was a huge brand and McDonald's is a huge brand, and you got to execute a playbook when I play in the NFL. Same thing in the franchise business. So that's basically what I do, execute a playbook. Instead of being the player now, I'm the coach and the general manager and the owner and the cook sometimes.
There you go. All right. We'll look forward to hearing more about that coming up in just a second. The final member of our panel is Lloyd Nurse. He's the CEO and founder at Nurse Technologies. And Lloyd, it's interesting. We'll talk about your business, obviously, but your bio, you're doing quite a few things, I guess. You are ex-military.
Yes.
You immigrated to the country from Guyana.
Correct.
You're an inventor.
That's correct.
Mortgage, Nurse Technologies. You do a lot of, so you don't sleep, basically, is what you're telling us.
Basically, I get involved in quite a few things, and you know, strategically, I want to achieve so much. And life's short, and we have so much that we can do as individuals, and sometimes we miss our mark. For me, I started as a pilot, age of 17. I went to Oxford in the UK. From there, I worked with the government of Guyana and some military operations. Exhausted that, decided that Guyana was too small, came to the United States and started to engage in business endeavors, led me to insurance, mortgages, and eventually during the turn of the mortgage industry, when there was the mortgage slide, I decided to pivot into inventions, which is one of the things that I've always been interested in. And right now I have like 3 patents in medicine management. We have a couple more in the pipeline, so the prospects and the future looks bright for our technologies.
Now, I'm not just sure that anyone can just kind of slide into inventing. You got to have some pretty good ideas, and you got to have the resources to get it done. Talk to us about some of those inventions and how you got the ideas.
Well, initially, especially with medicine management, I was initially given medicine to use, antibiotics, and told specifically by the pharmacist that you need to take the full course. It was for a strep throat. After about 3 days, I felt better and totally forgot the rest of the medication. Seeing it like 2 weeks after, I'm like, oh, something has got to be done about this kind of thing, because we all know what that can lead to. So I embarked on some simple ideas, which kind of mushroomed into more connected medicine and medicine management. And here, it's very difficult to explain in totality exactly how the system works. But basically, we look at medicine timing from a different perspective, where we're looking at fixed timing intervals, just like you would get from a pharmacy or a manufacturer. No one tells you to schedule medicine. They just tell you to keep it safe every 6 hours or every 4 hours. If there is you have staged management or staged medicine usage, maybe one every 2 days or 3 days. And these are some of the ideas that we are trying to address as we move forward in this technology.
Very impressive. We'll look forward to talking more with you, Lloyd Nurse, over the course of the show. This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. Let's get back to Nicole Hall from Nickel Works Consulting. Tell us a little bit about how Nickel Works Consulting came about.
Well, Nickel Works Consulting officially started in 2009. By training, I'm a civil engineer. And during that time, I was working for small businesses and the market declined. And so at that time, I was helping them do business development and government relations, a little strategic planning. And so I started outsourcing myself and became more of an independent consultant. And then I guess I became more in demand, and I officially said I needed to do this as a company. And I did that for a couple of years, helping actually small to medium-sized businesses make a mark in Atlanta. So, and they were primarily in the architecture, engineering, and construction industry. So where I started. And then I had the opportunity, because of my previous experience with Fulton County government as a traffic engineer, to work for the Fulton Industrial CID. They needed someone to help them get their operation up and going. And so that was my introduction to CIDs. And over the last 3 to 4 years, it has become a niche market. And so I work with communities who are interested in either forming CIDs, expanding CIDs, or administration of CIDs.
How do you split your time between the CID work, between Nickel Works? Because it sounds like 2 full-time jobs.
They're really all the same, because my business actually was modeled on business development and marketing, community engagement, which is really conducting meetings and events, and then government relations, helping those businesses who want to do contracting with the government. So the niche market actually is a hybrid of all those services kind of combined. So right now that's my focus, but I don't do it by myself. I have a team of people. So we have 5 full-time and then others that we bring on seasonally as we need the workforce.
Talk to us about that support group, about the team you have working for you.
Well, I'm an engineer. We have planners, and that actually is good. Most people don't think they get along very well, but we do. then we also have administration staff that helps with office coordination and coordination of all the different CID projects or other projects that we may be working on.
When you have a company approach you for consulting needs, what are they coming to you and telling you about where their business is at?
In some cases, if we're doing business development, they want to get contracts with certain governments. So they may want to make headway into Fulton County government or DeKalb County government. So those are governments that I've helped them to work with. They need to understand the process, the people, and having worked in the private sector and the public sector, I have a better understanding of that and can help them to navigate that. Sometimes it requires them basically completing paperwork to be a disadvantaged business enterprise or whatever it may be. For DeKalb County, it could be a local small business enterprise. When CIDs come, they're typically community organizations or it could be businesses who want to take an active interest in their, they are taking an active interest in their community and saying, help us understand what we need to do to get this established. In the case of East Metro DeKalb CID, I actually had helped them with the formation and then they needed someone to help them carry out the day-to-day and really get them up and going and running and basically branding and all those types of things. And so I, you know, just basically applied just like someone else and thankfully, I was selected. So I appreciate the board members who have hired me to help them with this project.
Tell us about how a community improvement district helps an area and area businesses to thrive. Because I would imagine there are some areas out there, some communities where there's not a CID, there's not that organization. You all have it in place there with East Metro DeKalb. How does that help them?
Well, basically, property owners, such as the two that are here on the panel, as well as others, voluntarily agree to pay extra money. It's an investment. It's a contribution to the community. And that contribution is actually made directly to the tax commissioner. And the tax commissioner distributes the funds back to the actual CID board that is established. And then that board directs projects and initiatives that are geared toward economic development. And so if a business is there, typically this, you know, the property owners actually are the ones that lead the effort because they are the ones that are, you know, footing the bill. However, business owners actually benefit because it helps to clean up the area, public safety, transportation improvements, and so on. And so in the areas that have CIDs, you find that those areas are doing very well or they're on the move as far as on the rise to improve in their economic development, community development, and so on.
I would imagine that everybody kind of has their own ideas and their own priorities. You have a lot of business owners coming together. Well, I want this done and I want this done. How do you reconcile all that and get everybody on the same page for just one agenda?
It can be difficult depending on which CID I work with. I've worked with multiple, but I will say that typically they all have a common goal. In another CID that I worked with around the airport, you had 4 different jurisdictions as well as the board themselves, and that became more of a challenge. Here with the East Metro DeKalb CID, you basically have one board and one government. So it's not as hard to reconcile that because most of the people who came in and when they say what their main focus areas are, they're pretty much the same. It's deciding which area we're going to focus on first, because for the East Metro DeKalb CID, it's a very large, vast area. So we want to make sure that we can get to all the areas, but it's going to take time. And so I think our board, you know, understands that. I've tried to explain that. And I believe that we've started a good thing starting in the Wesley Chapel area with the beautification and the cleanup. And they already, with the government, had public safety initiatives in place. So we're just kind of working together to get that. And then our goal is to continue to move to other of our major corridors within the East Metro DeKalb CID.
Is it a challenge getting businesses or business owners to buy in and make that extra investment?
It is difficult in some instances. I think sometimes it really depends on the location of it, and it also depends on how their business is doing. So what we have found is that the market was, when the market declined, we had the recession in the 2008, 2012 timeframe.
Right.
hotels are suffering a lot, so trying to get them to sign on, they're like, we need to do needed improvements mm-hmm. within the hotel. They're not necessarily willing, you know, right now to commit to that, but some are. And I think it's about their long-term vision and if they can somehow put that into their budget, because that's an important initiative for them. There are other communities that may not be so may not have been hit as hard with the recession. And so it may be easier for them. So it's really about the bottom line of each individual business. Our job, you know, the Nickel Works team, we really focus on educating them about what the value and benefit is long term, and for them to understand what they're really investing in, because they're investing in the future of their business. And this is just like you were doing an improvement at your hotel. You're just doing it kind of shorter term, putting this money in, and you're going to get more bang for your buck. And that's kind of how we talk to them about it.
Wrapping up with Nicole Hall from Nickel Works Consulting and the East Metro DeKalb CID. In your role as administrator, is it your responsibility to personally go to these business owners and try and sell them on the idea of joining in? Is that part of what your team does, or the board with the CID? Who's responsible for that?
Well, in this particular case for East Metro DeKalb CID, I also was hired to do that work. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case in other CIDs, but you're always an advocate for getting more members. So it kind of goes hand in hand with administration, but that's another specific service offering, which is expansion. And so when you're ready to try to bring in more members, and you do it in a kind of a bigger initiative, it's not, you know, just the everyday dealing with the members that you have on are already there on a regular basis, or the business that you see. So we do offer that service, and we provide that to other communities within the metro area. But I did provide that previously as a part this past year. We did an expansion, which actually helped us to bring more revenue in, more members in. And we're going to do a little bit different spin this time. It's going to be more of a mini expansion or a membership campaign, and we're going to have our board members to do a lot of the peer-to-peer reaching out to those prospects that we're looking at. So we're actually looking forward to that. We just had a board meeting on this week, Wednesday. And so this is, you know, one of our new initiatives. And so we're really looking forward to it. And we actually have the help of DeKalb County government, you know, to help us to reach the goal that we're trying to reach. So we're excited about that. Partnerships are very important to East Metro DeKalb promoting, and that's what we're doing here with you today. We're very happy for the opportunity and then growing. So that's
and we're glad here for the opportunity to spotlight it. You can find out more information online. Check out nickelworks.net. You can follow them on Twitter at nickelworks1. And, of course, the CID is on Twitter. EMDCID is the Twitter handle, facebook.com/EastMetroCID. Nicole Hall, we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get back with Van Jakes now, owner and operator of Jake 22 Management Company. And it was interesting something you said, that in your role with McDonald's, you basically have to do it all. You have to be willing to do it all, including cooking the food?
Absolutely. You know, in order to get a McDonald's restaurant, you have to go through an extensive training program, and that starts in the kitchen. And I'm glad they did, because they taught me the basics of running your business. You know, a lot of people want to own the business. Really, they want to invest in the business. So, you know, they showed us the basics, and I really appreciate how McDonald's training programs is set up.
You have a unique situation at McDonald's or fast food restaurants where you're dealing with, you're employing a lot of teenagers, high school kids. You hear a lot about the millennials nowadays. Is it hard to find good help from that group?
Well, you know, we've been at it so long, we've got a system in place, and we do have a lot of turnover, but, you know, a lot of kids are energetic, we make it fun, you know, exciting, they're starting job a lot of times. So, you know, we don't take it as it's a challenge, we take it as an opportunity to show kids how they can better themselves, because they don't understand the dynamics with a McDonald's restaurant. You got advertising, you got lawyers, you got accounting, you got construction, you got distribution. So we try to take kids to the whole spectrum. You can own McDonald's if you want, or you can be an attorney for McDonald's.
Well, and you remember the old McDonald's commercial about Calvin's the manager of the McDonald's,
exactly.
And they used that as a model to show you can work your way up.
And we got two guys in particular. They are twins, and one owns 16 restaurants, and another owns 15, and they both started as a crew member. It took a while, though.
That's about 30 years.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
How hands-on is it for you? You're overseeing these three restaurants. Obviously, I assume you have restaurant managers within. Are you spending time in each of the restaurants each week, or how does that work out?
Yeah, they call you an owner-operator for a reason. You need to operate your restaurants. I do have a staff. You know, I've got supervisor, office staff, general managers, shift managers, and crew members as well. But still, I visit my restaurants quite a bit. I eat a lot of the food. I go through the drive-thru. I check on the cleanliness. I check on the schedule. We have weekly meetings. We have a schedule to do all different type of tasks. So it's definitely something you got to be hands-on when you're talking about a restaurant, any restaurant.
It might be tough for you to gauge, but is that a situation when you go into one of your restaurants, he's here, the man's here, we got to be on our best behavior. Do you, feel that? Or
I thought I wasn't going to be that type of guy, but it's no way around it. That's the boss, you know. So things are a little bit different when I'm around. Sometimes they don't know that I'm the boss because some of the new hires that I hire come in a late evening sometime. But yeah, you know, they always say that's the boss there. So it's kind of fun. I enjoy it.
How's the relationship between you and McDonald's, the corporation? Because obviously, with a fast food franchise, you know, the food is what they tell you the food is going to be. The menu is what they tell you the menu is going to be. How has that worked for you?
Well, you know, I do a lot of mentoring with NFL players trying to get into franchising. And a lot of guys say, well, I want to get into franchise. I want you to understand that there's no way you come out and have a Matt cheeseburger special. You know, you can't have a Van Jake's triple pounder. Mm-hmm. You know, the brand is the brand, the standards is the standard. So that's what the model is. You can't come out and just create something that you like. So those are the things you have to deal with when you're dealing with a franchise business. You got to stick to the terms of your agreement to make sure the brand is integrity is in place.
You played almost a decade in the NFL. What sets you apart from so many guys, probably the majority of former NFL football players, who end up in poverty, who end up with, you know, chronic pain problems, that sort of situation? What sets you apart to help you be a successful businessman?
Well, we talked about a little bit, you know, before we got on the air. When you talk about somebody who's 20, 21 years old, all of a sudden didn't have any money management skills and they had some issues, and then all of a sudden you get a lot of money. That's a tough dynamic for anybody. A lot of people don't see it, but, you know, you done had 10, 15 years to kind of get in the business world, have a few jobs. Well, that's your first job. Making a lot of money, a lot of people around you, a lot of people are pushing you. You know, I did have my family support. My family didn't pull me down. They lifted me up. Some friends who also lifted me up to realize that, you know, you got to take this as a stepping stone to make a transition from athletics to business if that's what you want to do. And so you can't play forever, whether you play 3 years or 10 years or 12 years. You know, you're still a relatively young person at 35, 36 years old. But, you know, when you come out of college, you don't get that kind of education. You know, you're kind of prodded along, even especially in a big time Division I program. That's like semi-pro, you're not getting paid. And you're not even the skills to handle when you do get paid. And then when you get paid, you get maybe one symposium of how you should act, how you should approach yourself as a rookie in the NFL. Then that's not enough for everything that's going to come upon you. And I was lucky and blessed to you know, have my faith and to save a little money and to make that transition.
But you also have to have the drive, because it's one thing to, okay, I saved a little bit of money. Now you're going to go out and do a second career. It's such a unique situation with the NFL or professional sports. Nowhere else are you going to retire at age 30 or 35 and
right.
have to either sit around and play golf all day or go out and do something new. And you chose to go out and do something new.
Yeah, you know, it's really a really tough dynamic, because you got to think about if you play till you're 30, you've probably been playing since you were 7. That's what mm-hmm. you always did. So really, you kind of bred that's all I can do. And so many guys think like that. When I'd mentor some of the college kids, I tell them the complete opposite. You know, if it's a doctor who wants to become an NFL player and you're an NFL player wants to become a doctor, I'm going to bet on you. Because you can go to school, you go back to school, you can work hard, you can train, you can become a doctor. But if that doctor who's been a doctor for 10 years want to be an NFL player, he can train as much as he like. He can get the best nutritionist. He can, you know, be the smartest one to play. He's not going to be in the NFL. So that's the mindset that's got to change with a lot of guys. They can make a transition, whether it's to business or whether it's something else. But it's all about, this is all I ever done. This is all I know. This is all I'm good at. This is all I can do. And that's not true.
Before we move on, the future of the NFL, as you see it, player safety, those sorts of things, where is it headed the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, you know, I'm glad they made some of the changes. I know I would have got a lot of flags if I played right now.
So there was no targeting penalties or anything.
That's how you get the big guys down. But, you know, the game is going to be safe because the brand is so huge. And, you know, I've looked at how they changed the fields from when I played. It was all about just making it ready for TV when they had to realize that they were losing a lot of guys to injury with knee injuries by the artificial turf they had. So they changed the turf. Now they realize some of the hits that you're taking, they change the way you approach how you hit people. So the game is going to be in good hands. It's an awesome brand around the world. I mean, soccer is huge around the rest of the world, but this football is unbelievable. And there will be some changes, but it's going to be a great game for, you know, decades to come. Easy.
He's a former Kansas City Chief, a former New Orleans Saint, Green Bay Packer. He is a big-time Atlanta Falcons fan, right?
Well, let's not say that during the week of New Orleans and Atlanta, though. That's the only week. Okay.
And there you go. Van Jake's owner and operator of Jake 22 Management Company. You can find him on LinkedIn, Van K. Jakes. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And so let's go to the third member of our panel, Lloyd Nurse, the CEO and founder of Nurse Technologies. Their website, nursetimer.com. So talk to me a little bit about the nature of Nurse Technologies and what kind of products and services you provide.
Nurse Technologies, we are thinking of making or contributing to a revolution in medicine management. Right now, medicine management is probably one of the greatest need in medicine, medical care. There are so many problems related to people taking medicine incorrectly, overdosing, underdosing. When they have multiple medicines to take, they are confusing one with another. Many deaths. The actual cost of medicine mismanagement is estimated to be like $200 billion a year.
Wow.
In the United States alone, expanding to like $500 billion worldwide, and that's annually.
And you look at a lot of the people who are taking the medicine, that would be seniors. People are living longer here in America and around the world, so obviously it's got to be a growing industry.
It certainly is. The difficulty is how do you get people to do the right thing. Not do the right thing. How do you help them with tools so that they can be more efficient in their use of medicine? And that has been a challenge for the industry. No one wants to set or schedule a medicine device. It's difficult at the most because you already are suffering from memory issues. And now to ask you to remember to do something, it's a difficulty. So we're removing a lot of those features from these products and replacing it with a simple device where all you do is start it at the beginning of the day, first dosing, and from then on, when it alerts, all you do is take your medicine. Automatically, when you pick that bottle up, you're doing the same thing that you ordinarily would do, but in taking that action, you're either starting a timer or you're ending, you know, a sequence. And every time you move that medicine bottle, that instance is recorded on a smart device so that someone can look at what you're doing remotely in real time. When we add the fact that you can identify each medicine bottle with RFID tags or even simple barcodes, we now have a system where each medicine as it is being used can be tracked from manufacturer to the pharmacy to the consumer, and everyone within the healthcare chain can see precisely what each person is doing on a daily basis.
Do you have any background in healthcare or medicine, or is this just kind of a new field for you?
This is a new field for me, but I guess my exposure to aviation and all aspects of it. As you know, being a pilot, you cover so many areas, including avionics, so many different areas, and that exposure in itself leads to a person being able to pull from different avenues and putting things together. I think that has served me well in how I look at solving problems. This really is a problem to be solved at a very basic level. It's not a medical problem per se, it's a consumer problem. We have missed the fact that consumers are the ones who have the problem, not the medical industry. And if we can empower each and every consumer to be more, more proactive in the use of their medicine so that they know on a daily basis what are the side effects in real time. If I take this and I, you know, take alcohol, what can happen? And I see that at the point of use. These new technologies are going to change the way people interact with medicine now and in the future.
How do you get the word out about Nurse Technologies and about the products that you're putting out there on the market?
Well, that has been our challenge right now. Initially, we've been focused on intellectual property because we do believe that because of our twist in how we approach the problem, once the word gets out, it's going to spread like wildfire. It's one of the biggest secrets right now from our perspective. And we've had various professionals that have looked at it and say, wow, this is a game changer. So right now we're waiting on funding to do our first manufacturing run. We have prototypes in development. We have on the website, you'll probably see videos that highlight some of the features and benefits of our technology, but we haven't gotten any products in the market yet. We've been working with Georgia Tech. Some students there have been able to put together quite a few of the products that we're going to be bringing to market. And my son, who is an engineer also, he works right now with it's conductors in New York. And he has been a very integral part of the strategy in terms of how the products have evolved. And we started basically with just a small unit that you can attach to each medicine container. And we have now moved to simply just moving an initial medicine container as you would get it from a pharmacy and just drop it in a compartment. And that compartment will deliver information to you as you use that medicine. So it's effortless. You're really doing what you normally would do, but all of a sudden now it's more productive. There's more information out there. There's data, there's analytics, and there's so much more that you can get from the use of a specific medicine. You know, governments can look at how individuals are using and the real-time effects of not only medicine, but if we combine that with other vital sign information at point of use, you can imagine the magnitude of that information flow.
This is DeKalb Business Today. Matt Holmes talking with Lloyd Nurse from Nurse Technologies. So you're an inventor. Back in the day, you learn about inventors when their products hit store shelves and become big successes. Now all you have to do is turn on the TV and watch Shark Tank, and you find out about all these great new products. Is that a direction you take it, with looking for investors, trying to go to TV, that sort of thing?
Yes. Eventually, we are going to definitely need the help of additional investors. The belief is that you exhaust all your resources in trying to bring what you have to reality, prove that it works, get it out there, talk to professionals in the field. Shark Tank in itself, it's more showplace and definitely gives a lot of exposure. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that the time is going to come within the next year or so when we will probably be asked to present our products there. But in the interim, right now we do not have a track record in terms mm-hmm. of usage. We don't have a product in the market that people have used. So as we deliver those, then we can move into the next phase. But I do believe that is going to be within the next 6 months or so, because right now we're taking some. We're taking quotes and we're trying to get some other things moving forward.
Exciting. So stay tuned for that. The website is nursetimer.com. Lloyd Nurse, let's bring it back to the full table, because it strikes me that basically everybody in this room is a transplant to the Atlanta area. Atlanta is a very transient city. You got folks like us who come here for professional reasons. You got a lot of ex-athletes who decide to settle here in Atlanta. Atlanta, a great place for immigrants as well. So for each of you on the panel, why Atlanta specifically? Why that East Metro DeKalb area? Why is that the place that you chose to settle in, Nicole?
So, to be honest, I don't necessarily live in the East Metro DeKalb mm-hmm. area. I actually live near the airport, but I believe in the South DeKalb and the East Metro DeKalb area and what it can bring. There's a lot of potential there. In the past, doing research, it was one of the highest income generating for African Americans, and we want to get it back to an area where it's attractive and people want to come. Residents, businesses, development, the like. And so I was drawn to go there as to seek out, you know, a project there because of the potential that I see. I've worked with other areas, Fulton Industrial Area, a lot of crime, public safety issues, dilapidated buildings, so on and so forth. And I saw what a CID could do. So coming to that area, it really inspired me because I saw what I see as the vision. And I'm hoping that other people can hear the vision, hear my passion, and get on board, and let's get moving for South DeKalb.
Van, how about you? A lot of current and former professional athletes decide to settle in this area. What made the decision for you?
I was in Florida when I first got out of the league, and I enjoyed Florida. I love to play golf. A lot of golf courses came down here, but the area is so non-diverse in Florida, I put it like that, and we're so diverse here in Atlanta, especially in that DeKalb area. So three of my restaurants when I first came was there. My office is there. My church is there. A lot of my family moved in that area. So right now my office is still there. My mom, bless her heart, still living. She's there, brothers and sisters. And, you know, it really is about a partnership. And I've been there so long. I've been at that particular one restaurant on Panola Road 23 years. And I've seen so much. And a lot of people want to see it just change overnight, and it won't. But what we're doing here with the CID, East Metro, we're planting seeds. So we've got to water it. We've got to put some sun on it. We got to give it some time. And I hope my kids' kids will see this thing turn around, and it will. So we've just got to continue to work on this public-private partnership to really get things turned around, not to be like pointing fingers. I always like to say, you know, you got to keep the main thing, and that's the economics. We'll get the economics when we clean it up, make it safe, and let people know that we're open to do business in DeKalb County, because I think it's a great opportunity for so many different reasons, from where it is on I-20. You can go east, you can go west, you get to the airport. We've got a lot of land use. We've got parks, Arabian Mountain Parks. We've got shopping. We're getting restaurants. So it's all there now. We're starting to pull it all together, but it's going to take time, and we're going to need everybody's support. A lot of business owners who might not own the land got to look at it the same way. You know, you just can't look at your parcel. You got to look at one block over. That's the way we look at it. We look at across the street, a half a block down the road, to clean up all of that trash. So we can't just say, well, that's a shame. Well, we can just get out and start doing something about it. Those are the little things. That's what we call the low-hanging fruit. So we're going to get the low-hanging fruit. We're going to keep planting these seeds. And eventually, you know, the East Metro area is going to be a place of destination for a lot of economic development.
Lloyd, I'll let you have the last word. I talked to two people who, they move here from other states. You've been in other countries, and you chose this country, you chose this area. Tell us why.
Initially, it was for raising my kids. I spent a couple of years in New York, about three, after migrating to the United States. Realized that there was too much activity, too much energy out there. I wanted to calm things down a little. So I came down here. I had two daughters, and I got a son after that. I've been in the Wesley Chapel corridor for 23 years or so, just about the amount of time that Van was owning restaurants out there, and I've seen a lot of changes. The thing is that when I first came, it was much better than it eventually got, and it wasn't in fact, it was my son that pointed out to me that, yeah, things have changed, you know, we have too much litter around, I mean, what's going on, Dad? And it really jolted me because I just hadn't seen it. But the CIDs that have evolved recently have been a tremendous source for attracting businesses and to help business owners to focus on what it takes to bring people back in a community or bring quality people back in a community. We're looking to some of the problems that exist right now in the Atlanta area, where traffic is a nightmare on the north side. People looking for options. I've seen in New York where certain areas where people ran from because, you know, too many negative elements were encroaching, they're now going back there, and they're cleaning up, and they're making it their home because it's so much more convenient. The same kind of thing, I believe, is going to happen in East DeKalb, along that I-20 corridor. The county has what they call an overlay district that actually encompasses most of what we have, the CID. And they already have been putting together projects in place, at least studies in place, to improve the entire corridor. We are going to make it happen because now we can, with additional funds, we can do the cleanup. We can make it attractive for persons who are looking for options. People coming in from other states will no longer see only the north side as the upland, but they can look at East DeKalb and say, hey, this area is clean. This area is on the move. Let's settle here instead. We can get property now at a lower cost, but look at the potential in another couple of years. And we do believe that property values are going to increase tremendously in that corridor. And those are some of the things that I want to work passionately to ensure that it happens.
Well, it's so great to get to find out what's going on there and kind of what the future is there in the East Metro DeKalb Community Improvement District. It's been a fantastic show. We appreciate you guys being here. Nicole Hall, the founder and chief consultant at Nickel Works Consulting, also the administrator of the CID. Check it out. Nickelworks.net is the website. She's on Twitter at Nickelworks1. Van Jakes, owner and operator of Jake 22 Management Company. Check out those local McDonald's restaurants, and you can find him on LinkedIn, Van K. Jakes, as well as Lloyd Nurse, the CEO, founder at Nurse Technologies, the pilot, the military, the inventor, Mr. Renaissance Man, I suppose. You can check out his website, nursetimer.com. We appreciate everybody being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you on the next edition of DeKalb Business Today.